Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay, welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast. We are here. This is episode number 6 of the Handy Guys Podcast show. And today we're going to be talking about how to build a Handy Guys toolbox.
Yeah, that first toolbox. You know, you get into your first house, your first condo, whatever it is. Everyone's going to need some tools. What is that going to look like?
Yeah, and you don't have to be a handy guy. Maybe you're a single mom or single dad, and you just haven't really collected the right tools to have around the house. And really, everyone should have a basic tool set around the house.
Absolutely. So we've spent some time brainstorming on what those tools are. We've thought about what our first tools purchases were. So you don't need a garage full of tools when you get your first house, but we've come up with what we think are the essential tools.
Okay, well, before we talk about the tool set, let's first give our contact information.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a question, you want to ask us anything about the house, you can contact us at area code 615-676-0877, or you can also contact us on our website at
www.handyguyspodcast.com and click on the contact or ask us a question link, fill out the form there, or you can email us at handyguyspodcast.com.
That's right. So we hope to hear from you. But first, before we talk about the toolbox, I want to talk about an item here. We've been talking about how the topic of having a green home or being green is obviously important in these days, and we're trying to protect our environment. And so various manufacturers are coming out with new tools and items to which are considered green. I found one here today, recently, this new lawnmower. It's called the Green Lawnmower. It's from the Mantis Company, and you may know them as the company that makes the mini tiller. You ever use the mini tiller?
I've never used the mini tiller. I thought about getting one to work in the flower beds and stuff like that, but
right.
Never made the plunge.
I hear good things about it. Well, they have a new, it's a real mower. You know what a real mower is? You know, it's like the old-fashioned.
Those old-fashioned push reel mowers have the spinning blade and it cuts the grass.
Well, this one actually comes with a 24-volt rechargeable NiCad battery. And it has enough power to mow about 2,500 square feet on one charge. And it's environmentally green, according to the company, because it has an electric motor and it starts instantly and it's not burning fossil fuels. So it's supposed to protect the environment.
Okay. Well, how does it do that?
Well, that's a good question. I guess you just recharge it, and it's a 25-pound lawnmower, so it's fairly easy to lift and move around, and it's a typical... like a typical real mower, but it has the little electric engine, and they say it's eco-friendly, and it's available from Mantis for $379.
So now, what does the battery do for you? I mean, I've used those real push mowers. I used to mow my grandmother's lawn about an acre with one of those old push mowers. And so what does the battery do for you?
I suppose it must turn the blades for you to make it a little easier. I mean, it doesn't look like it powers the wheels, although it's not clear from this information, but it looks like it must...
Like a self-propelled reel mower?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if it's self-propelled or not. Maybe we should find out.
Well, I think, I think the bottom line is if you're going to truly be try to go green on these things, those self-propelled mowers, the push reel mowers, non-battery, non-gas-powered, they actually do a pretty good job. They give you a little bit of a workout, but if you're only mowing 2,500 square feet, which is a very, very small yard, might as well just get the straight push mower. It's going to be less expensive. You're not going to have to worry about a dead battery.
Yeah, you're talking about the standard reel mowers.
Reel mowers.
You know, I think, you know, that's what, you know, didn't Beaver Cleaver have one of those
day? I'm sure he did. I've mowed plenty of grass with those, and so, do the job.
And supposedly, if the blades are sharp, there are actually some lawn professionals prefer their cut to a standard gasoline.
Yeah, because it's like a pair of scissors in the cutting action versus just a spinning blade that just beats the grass off instead of actually slicing it. So it does give a real nice fine cut.
Right.
The old ones, I don't recall if they had a height adjustment. They were just kind of one.
Yeah, you can still get one that has height adjustments. It has sharp blades, and it'll mow right through your lawn. And it, you know, that's, as you said, it's non-powered and it's green because it doesn't require you to even plug it in. Because, you know, if I were to get one of these and perhaps it's a little bit safer for the environment than my gasoline mower, but I still have to plug it in. And you know, I think my power company is coal-powered. Maybe it's nuclear-powered. I'm not sure which one I get my electricity from. But, you know, if they're burning coal, then they're still delivering, you know, carbon monoxide into the ozone layer, right?
Right.
Okay, well, we would so we recommend that you look in, if you have a smaller lawn, certainly get one of the push reel mowers. You don't have to have a gasoline mower, and these things are a lot quieter. You know, your neighbors will love you for it.
Yeah, you know, my yard is big enough. I need a you know, and I have some hills and so forth. So, you know, I have the Toro gas powered, self propelled, personal pace. You know, all that kind of good stuff, and it really does the job, and it does it nicely. But you know, if I did have a smaller yard, I would certainly consider the real push mower.
Okay, well, let's talk about the item of the day that we wanted to talk about, and that was to how to build a toolkit. And let's talk about the tools that you need to have if you want to be handy around the house. Where do we want to start?
Well, I'll start, you know, kind of my first notes on this were, you know, are we going to talk about hand tools or power tools? And I think the consensus as we were preparing for this show was the majority of your first tools are going to be hand tools.
Right. Yeah. There'll be hand tools or perhaps, you know, a battery operated tool. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But obviously, when you start your toolbox, your first tool set, you need to have screwdrivers.
That's right.
But you don't want to get the screwdrivers that you see in the 99-cent bin on the register with the orange handles, right?
No. You know, the biggest frustration with screwdrivers is, if first of all, if they don't fit the screw that you're working on, and second, if they they slip or the head or the bit of the screwdriver gets messed up, it just is going to cause you more frustration. So definitely get a good set of screwdrivers. A number two Phillips and a flat blade are your first ones you're going to get, and get a couple of good ones.
So you can walk into a Sears and get a Craftsman set for about $15-$20. It has several Phillips heads, several flat heads, and they're going to be good enough for most things around the house.
Yeah, Craftsman in their hand tools makes a very good screwdriver. Another brand is Klein. That makes a very good screwdriver, and there's a couple other ones out there as well.
But don't get the cheapest thing you find. It's really not worth it. When you go, no. You know, if you're struggling with a, you know, screw bit and the screwdriver itself is falling apart on you.
Yeah,
or bending the metal.
Yeah, my kids got me screwdrivers for Christmas. You know, they're little, and they got them at the dollar store, and so I got two new screwdrivers for Christmas from the dollar store, and. Yeah, they're out in my workshop, and they're in with my other collection of about 50 other kinds of screwdrivers that I have. But the first ones I'm going to reach for are the Klein or the Craftsman.
Okay, so moving on from screwdrivers, you got to have a hammer.
You got to have a hammer.
16-ounce, typical size for your basic hammer.
Yeah, I think 16-ounce is the good one to start with. You know, and a lot of this stuff is going to depend on what kind of projects you have.
Yep.
But if you don't have a project in mind and you want something to get started, just so you have it handy, a 16-ounce. So what kind of handle, Paul?
Metal or wood handle here?
Fiberglass.
Or fiberglass.
Yeah.
I say metal.
You say metal.
Durable. You don't have to worry about breaking the head off. If you're just starting out and you're not real accurate in your hammering, you won't break the handle, and it's light and it flexes a little bit. I find that it absorbs the shock of the hit a little better than some of the wood ones.
Yeah, the fiberglass will also do that. Probably the top brand in the fiberglass handled ones is Plum. And there's a few other brands out there, Eastwing.
Right.
So those make very good hammers. Yeah, the Eastwing on the metal ones and the Plum on the fiberglass. And there's also the woods with the hickory handle, I think, are nice, but they're going to be a little less expensive.
Right. Okay, so you have your hammer, you have your screwdrivers. What about a drill?
What about a drill? I think that's going to be the one power tool that's going to be essential.
Sure.
And it's going to do double duty, not only for drilling holes, but also for driving screws and things like that. It's very, very useful.
So this technology has changed a lot over the years. It used to be that, you know, in the old days, you had to get a corded drill and driver set, or and then they moved on to the batteries, but they were pretty big and heavy. But nowadays, with the lithium ion battery power, the small batteries, you can get a nice nifty little drill.
And yeah, that Bosch one that you have, that I think it's, what, 10.5-volt lithium ion battery.
Right, we're going to put that Bosch in our store because we really love this tool. It's a, yeah, as you said, it's a 10.8-volt lithium ion. It's small.
It can almost fit in your pocket. It's very, very handy for a lot of different things, not, screws or if just drilling a few holes. It's not going to do, you're not going to use it to put down deck boards or something like that, most likely. But it's definitely a handy tool to have around the house.
It's handy. The battery lasts a long time. It has enough power. If you do need to drill some basic holes, you can do that. The only thing is the handle is a little bit fat because the battery fits into the handle. So if you have really small hands, I could see it being a problem, maybe, but otherwise, it's just a great tool.
Yeah, you may want to try it on for fit if you have very, very small hands. Pick it up at the home center and see how it fits.
Okay, so that's your basic drill. You can drive things with it. You can drive screws or you can drill holes with it. All right, moving on, wrench. How about a adjustable wrench?
Yeah, we talked about adjustable wrenches, I think, on our first show.
The powered wrench.
Yeah, we had that electric adjustable wrench. That was a little goofy, but we do have a link to that. And it is in our store, but yeah, basic adjustable wrench is going to be able to be used for a lot of different things, especially if you're moving into your first house, you're putting together a bed frame, you know,
it's a versatile tool.
A new faucet, you know, whatever.
Yep. And don't skimp on that either. Get a decent one. Crescent is kind of the leading brand. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are some cheap knockoffs, and some of them are not worth getting. You'll be so frustrated with it. It's going to be in the trash. Yeah.
And kind of along the lines of the Crescent brand, you know, adjustable wrenches, Crescent wrench is definitely the king. But some of the other things that we should mention, you know, pliers. Crescent also makes pliers, and so that may be a good brand of plier to get. But you're going to want to at least a pair of pliers in that first toolkit.
Mm-hmm. Several different kinds of pliers. You probably want a needle nose, maybe
maybe a cutting type of a plier.
Yeah.
You know, like what they call a side
pliers.
Cutter, diagonals.
Yeah.
Something like that. And also a locking plier, what's often referred to as a vice grip.
Vice grips are really handy.
Yeah, because then they can kind of lock in on that the head of that whatever you're trying to turn or work.
Makes
it
a lot easier if you're trying to work out a nail or you're trying to grab something because they lock it, and then you can use your energy on actually twisting or turning the object.
Yep.
Vice grips, they come in different sizes too. You might want to go for your first pair, one of the medium sizes.
Yeah.
And then you can build on that later on if you
need probably
to.
A 6 or an 8 inch. Right. So what about Allen wrenches?
Allen wrenches are handy to have. Now, the reason you'd want an Allen wrench, most people know it as that little tool that comes with the new IKEA desk or whatever desk or table that you've bought. You usually have to put in those little square, or it's actually not a square head, it's a hex head, I think.
Yeah.
And they come with a little L-shaped tool, and usually, you know, you have to tighten the screws with it, and it's usually hard because it's just a little tool. But usually that's provided for you. But then later on, you find you have to adjust it, and you realize you don't have that tool anymore.
Yeah, so get the set that has all the sizes you might need.
You can get it's like a little Swiss Army knife if you want,
that's
or
right.
You can get them separately. But I like the Swiss Army knife version because they're all there and they stay together.
I do too. I don't know. I've probably got 100 different loose ones. I've got just a drawer in my garage.
And I do too. And so if I can't find that, I know I can find hopefully my one tool, which I try to keep in the same spot in my toolbox. And I always can grab that, and it'll adjust almost any Allen wrench that's out there.
Yep.
Tape measure. Got to have a tape measure.
Well, there's a lot of different options in tape measures, Paul.
Right.
There's different lengths, of course. Right. So how long of something might you want to measure? Let's say you're measuring for curtains, or you're measuring for maybe you're thinking of getting a new carpet in a room and you want to get a rough idea how big the room is. So what's the biggest kind of tape measure that a handy person might need lengthwise?
Well, I mean, you're right. There's different lengths, but it kind of depends what you like. You know, if you're just moving, you're just starting out, maybe you're newlywed, you could get the 30-footer and it's big and clunky, and you find out your first project is to measure the distance between two pictures on the wall or something, and you have this big, huge, clunky thing. Or you could get something smaller like a 20-foot. It's a little bit...
They even have like 6 foot and 12 foot, 8 footers, I think.
You got to get at least 15 or 20 foot, I would think.
Yeah. So, probably then I think our consensus is a 20 or a 25 foot tape measure is a good general all around tape measure.
Stanley makes some decent ones.
Yeah, Lufkin does. Right. There's a few other brands. Also, a very important factor in the tape measures is the width of the tape measure.
That's right.
3/4 inch is pretty common, but they do also have them that are narrower. And at first blush, if you've never really used a tape measure a whole lot, you think, oh, the narrower ones because they're lighter,
right.
They fit in your pocket easier. But inevitably, you're going to be trying to stretch that thing out. You're working by yourself, and you want to try to see how far something is away and measure a longer distance. And the thinner ones...
They droop,
and they bend over, and then you get all frustrated. So get a nice, wide one that'll support itself over a long measurement, and you'll save yourself some frustration.
I still haven't found the ideal tape measure, though. I mean, they all have different mechanisms, the spring mechanism to pull it back in and different mechanisms to stop it and hold it in place.
Yeah.
And they all, you know, everyone thinks they have the better mechanism, and I found faults with all of them.
Yeah. And I think they even have electronic ones, you know, that like powered ones.
Laser. We got the laser measures, too.
Yeah, and digital ones.
You got to get your basic tape measure no matter what.
Get a basic tape measure. We're going to have links for all of these things up on our site, kind of the ones the handy guys recommend and like and have used and are experienced with.
You can get your laser one down the road for Father's Day or Mother's Day or whatever. You know, you need the basics, and the lasers will, you know, they have their own problems. They're not perfect. They need batteries for one thing, so it's always good to have the basics. Okay, you got to have a utility knife.
Utility knife is very, very handy. I like the new style that you see a lot that is a folding utility knife. There's some blade storage in the handle, and they fold right out.
It's like a knife,
yeah.
With a lock grip.
Yeah, it's like a locking knife, kind of like the Spyderco knife that we talked about on the first
They are not perfect, though. I'll warn you, if you're trying to cut some caulk out or something like that, the little mechanism that holds the blade, when you push it in a certain angle, the blade will pop out on you.
Yeah, no, I've had that. And you know the one that is the most reliable is the one that the blade is always out. And it's just screwed
That's
in
right.
with the one screw on the side.
Can you even get those anymore?
I don't know if you can even buy them anymore. They're like 99 cents if you can, right? But then you're jabbing yourself if you're putting it down in your tool belt or whatever.
I like the standard Stanley one where you have the little sliding button. Now, to add blades to it, there's one screw you got to take out and put the blades in.
And don't get the ones with these automatic blade ejectors and all the fanciness.
Basics.
Yeah, stay with the basics on those because you don't know how frustrating it is to hand one of those fancy schmancy ones to someone who's never used it.
Now and they're bent over trying to cut something.
Yeah, you got to spend 5 minutes trying to figure out how to change the blade on
in
the
poor light. And
oh my gosh, what a pain in the neck.
Okay, so you got to have a level. This is great for anyone, even if you're not that handy. You need to hang a picture. What kind of level should you get for your toolbox?
You know, in preparing for this show, I reviewed other people's recommendations, and I kept seeing people recommend a torpedo level.
Right.
I'm not so sure I agree with that. A torpedo level, for the listeners, is typically a level that's about 6 inches
sometimes
wide.
Sometimes 12. Oh.
Or 6 inches long, maybe 12. But
yeah.
They typically have 3 different bubbles in them. So for horizontal, for vertical, and maybe for a 45-degree angle. But I don't find those very useful for anything more than hanging a small picture.
Right. Go for the 3-footer.
Well,
I like the 3-foot
I think
level
the shortest. Yeah, I think the shortest one is maybe a 2-footer.
Okay.
As a you know, one to have around. I have 2 4-footers, I've got a 6-footer, and I've got a 2-footer.
The problem is the shorter it is, the harder it is to get it level.
That's right, and the less accurate it's going to be.
Right, the less accurate. So, yeah, the 1-footers, they'll fit in your toolbox well, but they won't work
well. That's handy. Yeah, that's right.
So go for the 2 to 3-footers.
Right, and if you want opinions on laser levels and stuff like that, let us know, but do not get a laser torpedo level. You'll be wasting your money.
Yeah, it's not going to work for you. Okay, a Wonder Bar, right? That's a brand of crowbar type of, it's a flat type of crowbar.
You know, I think everybody needs to have one of those. And I've actually found another similar thing to a Wonder Bar that's for smaller stuff as well. And I'll put a link for that. But essentially what we're talking about is a flat bar that's good if you're going to, let's say you're going to change the trim around your doors and windows. You want to pull that off. A Wonder Bar is great for that, or any kind of demolition, destruction, or just pulling out nails. They're very, very handy.
It's a great tool. Like, you know, here's the obvious thing you might want to use it for. You're moving into a house, and you're ripping up old carpets, and you want to pull up the tack strips around the outside. Use a Wonder Bar and a hammer, and you just knock it right under the tack strip and pull it right out.
That's right.
It was made for that.
Yeah, and then make sure if you're going to do that kind of project, wear your gloves. And that's one of the other thing on
leather
the list.
Gloves.
Yeah. You know, not those 99-cent cotton gloves. I mean, they're good for some things, but, you know, I really like those deerskin leather gloves.
Yeah.
They feel really nice on my hands, and you don't lose a lot of mobility with those. Although I did buy a new pair one time, and I wore them out completely through to my fingertips in a weekend.
Okay, well, time's getting on. Let's talk about stud finder. Got to have a stud finder.
Stud finder. If you're going to hang heavy pictures and things like that, let's have a stud finder so you can find where to put that picture hanger or whatever that you hit the stud. Mm-hmm. Now, what about? I guess let's wrap up on these all-in-one kits.
Well, wait a minute.
You still got a couple more things on your list?
We got a little bit more time.
Okay.
Because you got to have WD-40s handy to have.
Here's a quiz for you. What does WD-40 stand for?
WD-40 stands for WD-40.
Yeah. Well, let's tell everyone what WD-40 is first. WD-40 is a general lubricant.
Right.
So, if you've got a sticky lock or hinges or something like that that's metal against metal and it's squeaking, WD-40 is a lubricant, a little squirt of that, and you're good to go.
It also removes rust and things like that. I find it very handy as opposed to just a general purpose 3-in-1 oil, just because it sprays, it's easier, it gets into things easier, and it's easier to clean up. Okay, so speaking of WD-40, we have a contest for this show. When you hear this podcast, if you know what WD-40 means, and clearly I don't, right, Brian?
That's right. You don't, I do. But where did that name come from? So if you use our contact information that we gave out at the beginning of the show, you send us the answer to that question. Where did the name come from? Or what does it stand for? Along with a question that we can maybe use on an upcoming podcast. We'll pull your name out of a hat and we will send you some free WD-40. No strings attached.
We'll send you a bottle of WD-40, but you got to answer, what does it mean? And ask the handy guys a question that we might use on the show.
That's right.
So to round out our list, we have flashlight. You need obviously a toolbox or one of those bucket bosses, which allows you to use a big bucket, and gloves. We talked about that. One other item that you forgot. Come on. It's a critical item in a toolbox. Duct tape.
I don't know. I can't think of anything that I've actually used duct tape for.
Come on. In fact, you don't even need most of these tools if you have a good roll of duct tape.
Did you notice how they're spelling it now?
Yes, it's spelled duck.
D-U-C-K instead of D-U-C-T.
Instead of duct tape, right? It's
right.
Duct tape.
Because duct tape is the last thing you would want to use when working on ducts.
Right. You want to use foil tape. So it's kind of a misnomer. Although my duct, anyway. all right, so it's still somewhat handy for certain things, for temporary repairs, we'll call them. You know, I know those folks on the A-team, you know, used it for everything.
I guess so.
Okay, so you were talking about, you could go out and buy yourself an all-in-one handyman toolkit that has several of these tools all in one kit for, you know, $15.99. So should you do that?
You're going to get a big pile of junk there. The only thing you might get out of it that's kind of neat is a little, you know, zipper nylon case that everything kind of fits in. But you know what? It's not worth it.
So you're better off starting out buying, even if you can't afford all these tools at once. And quite frankly, we're not talking about a huge expense for most of these tools, but you're better off buying a tool at a time if you have to, or a few tools at a time. Build up your things, your tool chest slowly, your toolbox, instead of trying to buy an all-in-one kit.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're going to start out, know you're going to do handyman stuff, and fix-its around the house. The stuff that we mentioned is a good place to start. But after that, I would recommend adding tools as you need it. You know, I've talked to people that said, you know, I want to build a woodworking shop. You know, I've got a budget of X. What do I need? And I said, you know, buy what you need when you need it.
Right. So budget a project. If you're going to finish your basement or you're going to repair something, at that point, figure out what your budget is and make sure you add in something to buy a particular tool you need for the job. Buy it for the job as opposed to just buying things up front that you may not even need.
That's right. And if you're going to start a project and you don't know what tools you might need, use our contact information, get in touch with us, and we'll help you out, get started.
Well, that's it for this show. Thanks for listening to the Handy Guys podcast. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks. Bye.